1,200 years is a rather long time. Not much lasts, endures for that many centuries. Think, for example, about our own country, where last month we celebrated our 243rd birthday, which means if our country is to last 1,200 years, we only have 957 more years to endure. How often in the history of the world kingdoms and empires and nations rise and fall. 1,200 years is a long time. And yet in today's first reading, 1,200 years after the events of the Passover of the Jewish people, the Book of Wisdom recalls that sacred moment. The Book of Wisdom was written about 50 years before Christ came to earth, before the incarnation. And the first Passover was 1,200 years before that. Passover was the moment that really defined the Jewish people. And so it was something that never left their memories and their hearts, even to this day, of course. The Jews celebrate the Passover. Just to remind you of those events, Passover came at a time when the Israelites, God's chosen people, were slaves in Egypt. And they'd been subjected to that hard labor in the Egyptian desert until God called Moses and sent him to Pharaoh to demand the release of the people, to demand that Pharaoh set the people free. And Pharaoh resisted for 10 plagues until finally that last plague, when the Israelite people were commanded by God to keep vigil on that holy night, to sacrifice and eat a lamb, to smear its blood on the doorposts and the lintels of their home. And as they celebrated that sacrificial banquet, the firstborn of all in the land of Egypt were slain, but the people of Israel were spared. And in the face of that great tragedy, Pharaoh sent the people away. He set them free. It was their moment of salvation that began then their journey to the promised land that God had given them as an inheritance. And that moment remained so present to the Israelites for centuries. They would forever remember it as their defining moment when the power and love of God was manifested in the most beautiful way. Year after year after year in their homes, they would celebrate the Passover. They rooted their very identity in that sacred meal. Nothing was more important. And so 1,200 years afterwards, at the time that Wisdom was written, the author of Wisdom could recount those events, and the people would know it well, would know precisely what the author was writing about. The sacrifice of the people in that holy night, as they maintained the divine institution, what God had commanded them to do. 50 years later then, enter Jesus Christ, the very Son of God incarnate for us. He will become the new Moses, who came to earth to lead the people, not out of slavery to some earthly ruler, but out of something much greater and much more restrictive, out of their slavery to sin. And all throughout the ministry, the teaching, and the works of Jesus Christ, as a faithful Jew, as a faithful son of Abraham, our father in faith, he has the Passover in mind. Even in today's gospel, it's very subtle and not steeped as we are in all of the customs and traditions of the Jews. We can miss it. But even in today's gospel, Jesus has the Passover in mind. He says to us, gird your loins and light your lamps. This was part of God's command to the people on that first Passover night. This is how you are to eat it, God said to the people through Moses, with your loins girt. In ancient times, a long ankle-length robe was worn, and to gird your loins meant to gather up your robe and tuck it into your belt so that you could travel freely, so that you were ready to move when you needed to. And God had also said, on this night, all Israelites must keep a vigil for the Lord throughout the generations. Keep your lamps lit, because you have to keep watch in this holy night, sacred to the Lord. And so when our Lord is teaching the people, telling them to keep their lamps lit and their loins girt, to be ready for the coming of the Lord, he's hearkening back to that sacred Passover night. And then on the night before he dies, Holy Thursday, our Lord gathers with his disciples for the Passover meal. The Last Supper was not just some dinner on a Thursday night. It was the sacred Passover meal. And Jesus took what God had given to the people centuries before, more than 1,000 years before, and he brings to fulfillment what that meal merely pointed to. The new Moses establishes this new sacred banquet, which we call the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, divinely instituted on that night, in which the true Passover lamb is made present, is sacrificed, and his blood is spread not on the wooden doorposts and lintel, but on the very lips, the doors of our bodies. This sacred meal will perpetuate the new Passover for the followers of Christ, that Passover from through death into new life, the life of the resurrection. This sacred meal will make present forever that sacrifice by which Jesus conquered sin and death and set us free from that great burden. And that means just as the Passover meal was the very identifying mark of the Israelites, the thing that remained most sacred in their hearts, the thing that defined who they were as a people, it means that so now the Mass should be for us. This, more than anything else, what we do here, shapes and forms who we are. It's why the Church calls what we do here the very source and summit of our life. Everything is meant to flow to and to flow from this sacred altar. What we do here every Sunday is we keep vigil. We come here to remain watchful. This is the gift that our gathering here as the family of God gives to us. It reminds us time and again, week after week, in that regular rhythm, that cycle of our life, that we are pilgrims on this earth, that we have to remain watchful, that our Lord has saved us, and that in an unknown hour, Jesus Christ, the new Moses, will call me to journey from this land into the promised land of heaven, into eternal life. And so this sacred meal, the Mass, forms and shapes us so that we will be ready when he comes. It's interesting, actually, the word perish that we just kind of use, throw around very easily, the word perish comes from the Greek word which means a sojourner, a traveler, a pilgrim. because we, members of this parish or a community, on a journey. We are sojourning together towards the promised land. How easily we forget that. We become so comfortable with this life. And yet we're merely pilgrims. We are not at home. And so our loins must be girt and our lamps must be lit. And here in the Mass, the lamp of faith, the light of faith is proclaimed from this ambo week after week to light the path for us. And our loins are girt because here the Lord keeps us free. He teaches us to attach ourselves to Him alone and to detach ourselves from earthly goods that would hold us down so that when He calls, we are ready. 1,200 years is a long time. 2,000 years is even longer. And yet for 2,000 years, this sacred banquet, the Holy Mass, has endured as the identifying mark of us Christians. What place does the Mass hold in your life? Is it what defines you at your deepest level? Is it the source and summit of your life? If not, make it so. And if so, may it become even more so. May we draw week after week from this gathering of sojourners the grace to gird our loins and to light our lamps, to be ever watchful. So that as the Book of Wisdom said of the Israelites long ago, that might also be said of us. In secret, the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect with one accord the divine institution. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.